15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news journalism with host Dennis Bernstein. Today we'll hear about Sister So Stella, a Catholic nun who is fighting against the building of a giant U.S. military base on the pristine Korean island of Jeju. Plus, we'll have an update on the killing of Andy Lopez. At 11 o'clock, it's the KBOO Food Show with hosts Kate Welch and Chris Siegel. Today's guest is culinary world traveler Mary Bartlett, co-author of the book Throw a Great Party. She divides her time between her home in Portland and Paris, France. Portland area weather today, sunny with a high near 47. Tonight, mostly clear with a low about 28. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com. And now for Wednesday Morning Talk Radio with host Lisa Loving. Today's guest is Rob Smith of the Cascade AIDS Project. We'll talk about what Obamacare might mean for those with HIV/AIDS.
Hi, this is Per Fogring. Friday, November 22nd, I'll be hosting the Morning Talk Radio Show. We'll discuss the Kennedy assassination and theories about who done it and why. That's Friday, November 22nd at 8 a.m. on KBOO, your radio station.
Hey, Tom Hartman here, and KBOO, Community Radio for Portland and Beyond, is bringing me to Portland. I hope to see you Friday, November 22nd at 7:30 p.m. at Powell's on Burnside in Portland. My new book is out, The Crash of 2016, and I'll be giving a talk and signing books at Powell's, so be there or be square.
On Thursday, November 21st, KBOO is proud to co-sponsor a discussion on racism and settler colonialism at home and abroad, a conversation toward building global solidarity. Student speakers will explore and counter the master narratives that deny our histories and our rights, from the European conquest of the Americas and the enslavement of Africans to the ongoing colonialism of Palestine. Settler colonialism has promoted racism and obstructed the self-determination of indigenous communities. The event will take place on Thursday, November 21st at 6:30 at the Native American Student and Community Center at Portland State University.
We'll be right back. 8:08 a.m. Woo! And you are listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and today, if all goes according to plan, on January 1st, HIV and AIDS sufferers, I guess that's the word I'm going to use, will have access to health insurance and life-saving medicines and treatments for the first time in history. Is it going to work? Okay. And so we're joined by Rob Smith and Kelly Britton. They're from the Cascade AIDS Project. And okay, jump in now. I think that this is, we all have our criticisms of the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare and the rollout and all this stuff. Sure. But how do I define what a milestone this is for people with an HIV or AIDS diagnosis? Can you guys jump in and do that? It's historic.
Yeah. Well, I want to clarify. I mean, people with HIV do have access to insurance currently through a couple of federal programs, but this will be the first time that they would be unable to be denied health insurance.
This is part of the industry reforms. And we're talking about the Obamacare Affordable Care Act. I like to think it's like a three-headed dog, right? Mm-hmm. There were the industry reforms. I mean, I wish I could hear people talk a little bit more about the abuses of the health insurance industry, right?
Sure.
Things like you can't deny people for pre-existing conditions.
Exactly.
Then there's the other part of the Affordable Care Act is like the healthcare exchanges itself. And that's kind of what we're arguing about and why isn't it working right?
Right.
And I forgot what the third part was. Never mind. No, but talk about the work that you're doing.
Sure, for sure. Well, with the Affordable Care Act, a lot, like you're saying, a lot of doors have opened up for people. You know, people who are, you know, still connected to their parents' health insurance can be covered for longer. You can't be denied for pre-existing conditions. There's a lot more opportunities for people to sort of explore plans that are more reasonable for them. The exchange is helping to lower cost. You know, the issues with the website aside, I think that for our opportunities to reach out to our clients and sort of let them know that we're here for them, I think it's been really great to have that opportunity to reach people. Kelly has been doing a lot of the work, and I actually have a team of Kelly's a full-time application assistor. I have another application assistor who's available full-time, and then we have a team of about five people that have at least some portion of their employment dedicated to this, just to meet with people who are living with HIV and help them enroll through this process. You know, and Medicaid has actually been expanded too. That's another huge part of it. A lot of the programs that were available through Medicaid and the coverage that was available through Medicaid previously has been expanded to include things that weren't previously there for a lot of our clients. So that's it. That's another huge part of it.
And a lot more people have access to it. So before it was a very small pool of people who had access to Medicaid and that health insurance. And essentially it's expanded to every single person who falls within the eligibility range is eligible for it, which is a huge deal. There were tons of people who should have been covered who were not. And with this Medicaid expansion, a lot of people will have access to really substantially good healthcare that they didn't have access to before.
Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about, I want to put this out. Listeners, are you living with AIDS or are you HIV positive? How is this going to impact you? Is it going to impact you? Maybe it's not. We want to hear from you though. 503-231-8187. Part of what we're seeing in Oregon is that we're just a really stark contrast to some of the states in the South, right, where they didn't do Medicaid expansion. And people who are living with AIDS and who are HIV positive are not going to have some of the benefits that we have in Oregon, right? But you have events coming up. You have some enrollment events. Can
sure.
you talk about that? Let's just put it all on the table.
Sure, no problem. Well, the enrollment event that's coming up this weekend is actually provided by Cover Oregon, so it's not just CAP. There's going to be other community partners involved, and there's going to be many application assistors available for people who want to get signed up. The enrollment fair is Saturday and Sunday, so the 23rd and the 24th, starting at 9:30 and going until 8 p.m. So it's a huge chunk of time, and people can just come to the DoubleTree. The DoubleTree Hotel is where it's at, which is
at Lloyd Center.
It's 1000 Northeast Multnomah Street, okay. So it's the one by Lloyd Center, and you can just come in and someone will be there to assist you. You don't need an appointment. You just stroll on in and sit down with someone and we'll help you out.
I was talking with you before the show started. I work at a newspaper, and a coverage I did a few weeks ago, I just went onto the Cover Oregon website and just started calling up all of what is called the community partners, different kinds of organizations, and there's dozens of them just in our Portland area. There's probably hundreds throughout Cascadia, right, in Washington State and in Oregon. I don't know if you're prepared to talk a little bit about Washington State. That would be interesting, too. Nobody's perfect, right? Actually, people are saying Kentucky did a really good job, but I think that they were not very ambitious. And I think that that's why they have enrolled so many more people, because they weren't really trying to do anything like value-added or whatever you would call that.
Sure.
But what I wanted to ask you was, well, I'll just say I called up all of the Portland area partners as if I were trying to get insurance. And actually, if you go to Cover Oregon and they have these lists, I was elated that the people on the phone, most of them, were excited that somebody was calling. It's like the people who are trying to enroll you into this health insurance, you know, to the degree that we can make it work, right? They want to do it.
Right.
How many times are you doing something that's I don't know, it's actually in your best interest, although I could complain about what's going to happen to my family finances. I could complain about that under the Affordable Care Act. That's not your fault. But it's a great big plate of spaghetti, and there's a lot of stuff happening with the Affordable Care Act. But when I called people up, and I think I called 24 different offices, the Cascade AIDS Project, you guys were doing way more than anybody else. It's as if you were looking at your community and you're just going to immerse everyone in the possibility. I have no doubt in my mind that you guys are going to like literally tap every single solitary person in your extended community to make sure that they could be signed up for the insurance that they should have. You guys have a special dedicated website just for the Affordable Care Act. What's it called?
The Cover Oregon. Our website?
Yeah,
CascadeAIDS.org. I think it's /Cover Oregon. Kelly? Yeah.
It's something like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. You guys have events. You guys are going to be sending enrollment helpers to clinics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You're going to where you know the people are that's going to need it. I was like, I wish that everyone was doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you brought this up, because something that has been really phenomenal with our program is this has been a huge collaboration with us and a bunch of other organizations. There have been conference calls, there have been webinars, it's been just epic.
Right.
How long have you been working on it?
So I've been working on it since the 2nd of October.
Okay.
I started in September working
on
this.
But I think the organization probably got on board maybe within the past year or something. You guys, you did a run-up. You didn't just do this all the last minute.
Absolutely.
But keep going, Kelly.
But something that has been really fantastic and where I spend a lot of my time is we have a very strong partnership that's been happening currently with Multnomah County Health Department. So the HIV clinic that they have over there, I work very closely with the medical case managers. They're incredible over there. And so part of what I do, because I am this resource of 40 hours a week dedicated specifically to Cover Oregon, is I sit there and I meet all of their clients. They come in and I help that process, as well as the medical case managers also filling out that application with them.
Yeah. I want to say the medical case managers from at Multnomah County and at Partnership Project, which is an OHSU program, are doing a great job themselves of enrolling people, and we're really trying to support them as much as we can. We're fortunate enough to have people that are able to support them, but because this is one portion of their job as a medical case manager or a medical social worker essentially, but that's been their main focus, is to try and get as many people enrolled as possible.
And when we say enrolled, we mean filling out the paper applications, because technically no one's enrolled yet, I think.
I mean, well, some it's people are, but in Medicaid, so there's right, that no, difference.
You know what? Okay, let's be crystal clear about that. Because I also have to say, I'm not the queen of Obama supporters. I'm just not. Okay. I'm just not. But the idea of creating an intelligent healthcare system in the United States is like a grail.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, you know, I'll just come out and say the word single payer. I mean, a lot of people think that that's what we really need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be revolution. Well, I don't even have to say that. Of course, you already know that. But there are some people and even lawmakers that are speculating that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, could be a gateway to single payer. So I know that there are some people that are hanging back and they're like, what can we do to just strap a rocket booster onto this thing and watch it go? But anyway, 503-231 8187. Are you living with AIDS? Are you HIV positive? And how is the Affordable Care Act going to impact you? And we have Joanne. Joanne, are you messing with the Affordable Care Act? What's happening with your health care?
I don't want to talk about it. I'm so disgusted with this country about so many things. But anyway, the reason why I called is I used to hear regularly about fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, immune dysfunction as being real diseases. But that information seems to have been silenced or disappeared. And the same for HIV and AIDS. But I guess it's because I'm oversensitive and other people aren't. And just a question, I'm curious, so maybe you can't answer it, but can landlords, before they rent to people, check on to see if they have AIDS or HIV? Thank you for the program.
Dude, Joanne, hot button, Joanne. Thank you for putting that bubbling pot on the table. Do you guys want to handle that?
Sure, I can. I mean, I can't speak from a legal perspective because I don't know enough about the law. But my belief is that that's not something that anyone can check for.
But I will say though that I feel as though it's not. Is it the Bureau of Labor and Industries?
Yeah.
Bully, they've actually done things to mess with people who are messing around like what you're saying, Joanne, mm-hmm. which surprised the heck out of me because I thought it was the Bureau of Labor and Industry. Mm-hmm. But they, because Brad Avakian, who is the current Bully commissioner, he's just really active. He has enlarged what they do. I'm sorry to interrupt, but go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that Cascades Project actually provides quite a bit of housing support to people living with HIV/AIDS. And so this is an issue that we work with all the time. You know, some clients that we work with don't mind if their landlord knows that they're receiving funding or they're receiving resources from CAP. Other landlords are, you know, other clients are sensitive a little bit more about it to ensure that we don't disclose their status to their landlord. So we work on this all the time, and we have to be really creative sometimes in how we can work with landlords without you know, inadvertently disclosing someone's status.
You want to add anything? This is a very, very specific and very focused question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm Lisa. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. We are live in the studio with Rob Smith and Kelly Britton, working with the Cascade AIDS Project to make sure that people are getting signed up for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. We already talked about how one of the ways that, because in Oregon, people were so far ahead of this curve, it didn't make it so that the website worked. We could do a separate show about websites. Do they work? I'm sure someone is going to call about that, too. It's a huge issue.
Sure.
It's a huge issue.
So, like... But what I was going to say was, though, one of the things that I think is remarkable, you know, whether you support, if you want to call it Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, whatever you want to do, I feel really strongly that the system reforms themselves are really, really, really important. Mm-hmm. One of the things that fascinates me the most about this concept of the Affordable Care Act is, you know, this should be Governor Kitzhaber's golden moment, because for years he's been talking about flipping the system to turn it into something that focuses on preventative care. I think maybe if you're living with AIDS or you are HIV positive, some of the treatments, care, health care that's preventative. Mm-hmm. You might not, you know, listeners, if you don't live with this, you might not think much about it. But if the system works, and we need to bulldog that, mm-hmm. right? We're not just sitting here waiting for someone to deliver the TV dinners. Oh, I don't like Salisbury steak. No, Affordable Care Act, we need to bulldog what we want it to be. And I wish someone would call and talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
But can you talk a little bit, though? Now, Joanne talked about fibromyalgia, and that's a complicated thing. Mm-hmm. But talk a little bit about what is the potential for what people will get under. And now we're talking about people got fast-tracked through Medicare. That's fine.
Sure.
But that happened because of the Affordable Care Act. So talk a little bit about, if you can, mm-hmm. what are people going to get, and how does the preventive aspect come into
sure.
play?
Sure. Well, we've actually done a lot of work reviewing the plans that So I want to back up just a second and talk about Care Assist, which is a program that is offered by the Oregon Health Authority.
Care Assist. These were some of the programs that were safety net programs for people living with HIV and
right.
AIDS already. Go
ahead. Yeah. So that's a program offered by the Oregon Health Authority, and that existed before before any of this Affordable Care Act stuff started happening. And what that is a a program that helps pay for medication and premiums for health insurance. So that's really a specific program, and we wanted to be really careful, and there were only some insurance programs or insurance programs that would actually work with CareAssist. So we went through and reviewed the insurance programs that were offered through the Affordable Care Act to ensure that they would work with CareAssist. And some of them that we looked at are offering things like naturopathy,
chiropractic work.
Yeah, stuff that probably
vision for adults
previously wouldn't have access to through the previous insurance programs that they were on. So this is really potentially opening the door for a lot of different types of care for people living with HIV, and that's pretty important because not everyone agrees with the Western medical model. They want access to different types of care, and I think that's great.
Lisa, forgive me for backing up a little bit, but I feel like something that I come across, because I meet with clients every day, all day, is that people come in and sit down in my office and they have kind of no idea what the Affordable Care Act looks like.
A lot of people didn't even know that it passed as a law.
Yeah, no, definitely. That happened. And also that Cover Oregon is the representation of the Affordable Care Act in Oregon. So this is essentially the Affordable Care Act, coming to fruition in Oregon. And I feel like the process is really confusing for people. They hear a lot about it, but they don't understand practical steps and what they need to do to sign up for it. So I am so interested in talking about the politics of the Affordable Care Act, but something that is I cannot leave here ethically without talking about is talking about the steps that people with HIV and AIDS need to go through in order to complete this process.
Here, I want to interrupt you and say, this is Wednesday Talk Radio. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act and what a historic moment this is in history, especially for people who are living with AIDS or if they're HIV positive. Now, there's a lot of people with pre-existing conditions. It's going to be revolutionary for them, too, if we can make it work. We need to get back to the grassroots and make this into something that works. And the phone lines are open. If you're living with AIDS or if you're HIV positive, we want to hear from you, right? What questions do you have? We have someone here who helps people just enroll, right? So we want to hear from you, 503-231-8187. Now, Kelly Britton, this really crucial information about how to sign up, because if people don't sign up by next year, as it stands now, in 2015, you're going to start getting dinged by the IRS. So tell us about these steps. Tell us what we should know.
Well, absolutely. First of all, the most important thing to know is that there are two different insurance pools that cover people with pre-existing conditions. One is called PSIP, Pre-Existing Condition Insurance Pool, and one is called OMIP, the Oregon Medical Insurance Pool. So there are a lot of people living with HIV and AIDS who get their insurance through OMIP and PSIP. One of the most important things to disseminate this morning is that OMIP and PSIP, because of the beginning of the Affordable Care Act, January 1, that PSIP and OMIP coverage is ending.
Right, right.
So that is why my job is so crucial and why I have a hard time going to sleep at night, because that information needs to get out there so people who are receiving OMIP and PSIP know to call their medical case manager, to walk into our offices, to call, to email anything so that we can meet with you and start this process. Because the portal is not working, the process is longer. And that's just bottom line, and that's what we're working with. And so we need to get people in here as soon as possible so we can start that process, which is going to be about a three-step process. We have time, and that's something that we can work on. But people need to know that this is something that is crucially important. If they are not already connected into services, they don't have a case manager calling them and reminding them. This is something that we need to start with immediately. And we have a whole team at CAP who has time scheduled blocks and is doing tons of outreach to sit with anybody who walks into our doors and needs assistance.
I'm just going to say this again. It's just my humble opinion that the Cascade AIDS Project is doing more to educate people about what their rights are and how to sign up for this health insurance than any other organization or group. And I love Multnomah County. They have a great big phone bank of people there.
They're phenomenal.
And I love the county. They're not doing so much to get the word out on the fact that they have all these people there. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I will say that I've worked in social services for a long time, and I have rarely worked with people who are this on top of it and this incredible. I mean, they are recalling, four times calling their clients who have not yet come in. They have
focusing
a huge
on the clients that they know are in the bubbling pot.
Well, absolutely, right now. Absolutely. Right. And part of our role as the Cascade AIDS Project is to reach those people who kind of fall through the cracks or are eligible for Medicaid and do not have it for whatever reason.
And we actually got a specific outreach grant. So really, that's why we're doing as much work as we are on outreach, is we're receiving funding to do that type of work, whereas the county is really just working with the people that they know, that are already connected to care there. And Partnership Project through OHSU is actually a subcontractor of ours. So we're working with them to do the work as well. So,
and how it works is, hypothetically speaking, if you have HIV in Portland, you are connected, hypothetically, to either the county or Partnership Project. So us working with them, we're essentially kind of the middleman. All of our clients are usually connected into services through one of those two organizations. Mm-hmm. So there have been lots of conference calls with Care Assist specifically. Mm-hmm. I think we'll get into this in a minute, but I think explaining the ins and outs of how this works, I have a lot of people who come into my office who are really scared, because if you live with HIV, it is not an option to not have insurance. It is just not an option. And this is a really life or death fear that people walk into my office having. And something that I need to stress is that there are different levels of eligibility. If you make $15,856 a year or less, you're eligible for Medicaid. So if you make $15,856 or less, you're eligible for Medicaid. That means free healthcare. That means you come in, we do a quick application, you're done. If you make any more than that, up to $45,960, and this is for single individuals. So if you make $45,960 or less, in between that $16,000 and $45,000 range, you're eligible for tax credits. And that means that the federal government has sat down and said, look, we're enforcing this law, the Affordable Care Act, but insurance is still too expensive. So we are going to provide you tax credits on the sliding scale, depending on where you lie, either larger or bigger, every single month. And so what that's looking like is, for example, if you look and you're like, oh my gosh, my insurance is going to be $500 a month, hypothetically, and you maybe register or you are eligible for $250 a month in tax credits, that means every single month the federal government will send $250 to your insurer. And then something that's really important to say is that Care Assist, the support network that we work with in Oregon, will pay for the rest of your medication, the rest of your premium. So from what we're working with is, people come in really scared that they're going to suddenly have to pay a lot of money, and Care Assist is still working with us. Care Assist is still in the game. And so your medications, your premiums, anything that is not covered by this federal subsidy will be covered. And that's why people with HIV and AIDS who are not necessarily receiving treatment right now need to walk in our doors so we can talk them through this process.
I also want to say that one of the most remarkable things that people should know about the tax credits is that when you qualify for them, you don't wait for your tax refund to get that money back. The way it's hooked up is that it happens as it goes. Mm-hmm. So that's actually important to know, too. Like, if you thought that you had to pay $10,000 right now and then wait until next year to get it back, that's not how this works.
You can actually make the choice. You can elect to have it every month, or you can elect to have it at the end of the year.
And the reason why I stress the having the monthly payments is that Care Assist, this network of people.
It's our ADAP program, which is an AIDS drug assistance program, which every state has. And that's just our version of ADAP.
It's what I understand is that the way the tax credits work for individuals is that if your insurance costs more than, I want to say it's 9.5% of your overall income, then you qualify for the tax credits. But it doesn't, there's a problem. It's called the family glitch. My family's really getting smashed by it, unfortunately, because, well, I'm not going to get into that now, but basically that's part of the systems reform thing, but the law is screwy, and the lawmakers didn't think that they had to make that also apply to families. So it's what's called the family glitch. Probably a lot of the people that are your clients maybe are individuals as opposed to people with a whole.
Well, actually, we have quite a few family, a few people, a part of family unions that come in and sit in my office. People with children, people with partners, gay, straight,
right.
Genderqueer, all kinds of fun things. But, I think something that I was a little bit, I would like you to clarify is the 9.5%. The thing that I know about the 9.5% and what that means with Cover Oregon is that there is this loophole that if your insurance that is offered by your employer, because the big rule.
Oh, yeah. It's the employer offered insurance.
Yeah.
So the big rule is that if you have employer insurance, you need to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is the bare bones rule, legally. But if you have an employer-based insurance, which is just for you personally, not for your family, but just for you personally, over 9.5% of your income, then you can opt out. Also, if you can prove that it is not a plan that will work for you. So
right. you can opt out and select another plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. I misspoke. And the interesting thing about it is, though, there's this thing that's called the family glitch. So if you have family insurance, that doesn't count for you. So I have an employer. We have Kaiser. The employer's going to keep the current plan. Kaiser's raising it 22%. 22%. We can't afford that. Hmm. Literally cannot afford that. Hmm. That would mean that it's like 40% of my take-home pay already goes to Kaiser right now.
Wow.
It's insane.
And this is for your family?
Family coverage
so,
through work, yeah.
So the only thing that I could do is if you sit down with the numbers and you would say, okay, so this is the amount that covers me every month for my premium, and this is how much I take home. If what I take home, or excuse me, if my premium that I'm paying just for me, so you have to divide it out between however many people are in your family. But if the amount of money I take home is I'm paying over 9.5% of that for my insurance, then you can opt out of that plan. And one of the things that Cover Oregon did very, very well is that they have all of these insurance agents that they have paid. So the idea is if you go onto the website and find an insurance agent.
Is that what it's called? Are those the brokers?
An insurance agent, yeah. Not a broker necessarily. Okay. But if you go on and you call them and you want to sit down and say, this is my situation, this is how much I make, this is my plan, what can I do? They are absolutely free to you. And this is something that we really need to disseminate. If you have HIV, if you have AIDS, if you are just a person who just really needs some counsel, mm-hmm. you get that completely free of charge. They will sign you up free of charge. Everything
Their
is free.
Their services are free, but you have
Absolutely.
To pay for the insurance or whatever.
You would still
Unless,
have to pay.
Yeah. To the degree that, okay, just right,
to right, the right, degree right. that they like.
You know, it's the thing that gets me about the Affordable Care Act. It's so simple, but it's so complicated.
Right, yeah.
And I think that's one reason why people don't, they just, their eyes spin back in their head and they don't want to remember that it was passed as a law or
sure.
that they have
totally.
To do something by whatever.
One of the things that I want to reiterate too is that I think Cover Oregon's done a really good job of reaching out to community partners that can have a wide reach of people from all walks of life. From
That's
different,
why I have a job.
Yeah, exactly. From you know, from obviously, like we've been funded to work with people living with HIV/AIDS. And we've been funded to work with people that are LGBTQ. But there are agencies that work specifically with Latino community. There's agencies that work specifically with African American community,
the Native American community,
Native American
children,
community.
All kinds. And yeah. I have to tell you this: when I called all of these people to pretending like I was signing up, they all said that they would not turn anyone away.
Exactly.
Everyone said that. So mm-hmm. if you went to NAIA and you're not Native American, they're not going to turn you away.
Sure.
So I thought that was, again, the joy in the voice of the person on the phone, you want to sign up? Yeah. I was like, that was the surprise for me.
Uh-huh.
Because to me, it's like a bureaucratic slog. Oh God, you know, and there's my checkbook. But the people doing it are so excited.
Well, I feel like, I mean, I think what draws me to this work is that it's a huge change and it's you know, it's a reform. It really is a health insurance reform. And it gives us the opportunity to reach more people and make sure that people are covered and that things are more equal. So, I mean, you know, we're both in social services, so we definitely have that drive. But, you know, I mean, it means a lot. It means a lot to a lot of people. And it may be affecting different people in different ways. But
And I want to talk about that a little bit in a minute. But first, I have to say, coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Political Perspectives, Jen Davis speaks with Floyd Jones and Kent Crayford, chief petitioners of the Portland Public Water District ballot initiative. Woo, controversial, that one. At 10, hear Eric Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. 10:15, it's Flashpoints. A Catholic nun faces off with right-wing Korean government and the USA over the building of a giant military base on the pristine Korean island of Jeju. And an update on the police killing of Andy Lopez. At 11 on the KBOO Food Show, guests include food writer and blogger Mary Bartlett. And thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support in our recent membership drive. We love you guys. Did you know that it's the reason why we're all here? Isn't it true?
Yeah, oh, so true.
Sure.
I'm just saying. Anyway, so this is Wednesday Talk Radio. We're live in the studio with Rob Smith and Kelly Britton from the Cascade AIDS Project. You know, Affordable Care Act. We will be talking about this for the rest of history of this country, probably. It's controversial. It's got good. It's got bad. I have people that have been screaming at me about why are you supporting this? It's just another corporate giveaway. Which reminds me, so in my mind, the Affordable Care Act has it has three heads. One is the insurance exchanges, the open marketplace that was set up so that people could go and theoretically get a better deal than people were offered. Another head of it is just the industry reforms. Those are really a big deal, actually, mm-hmm. to be fair with you. We could talk about that a little bit more. The third head I could not remember earlier was business, just business. You guys were talking about the brokers, the insurance brokers, the insurance sellers, right, that got money from Cover Oregon, and you can call them up and go over there and they'll help you fill out the form. That's business. There's also the people that offer different kinds of services, those people who specialize in, say, for example, alternative hydrotherapy for people with full-blown AIDS or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's people out there who have businesses that where they will be plugging into this. But one of the things I want to ask you about is, okay, I traveled to Louisiana in September, and I had to sit in a chair for 72 hours and listen to people talk about the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. And this thing was, it was put on by advocates, Families USA. They're advocates. They probably got a grant from the federal government to do that. I still heartily recommend that people go to their website and read what they have to say about the Affordable Care Act, because there's so much smoke and mirrors out there about this. We can't even define it all, actually, to be fair, because it's so new and it's so big. It was like a 1,000-page law, and I'm not sure what human being read every page of that, okay? But the thing I think that's the most important thing to know is that this is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. So we can sit here and talk about what's not working, but politically, and Kelly did bring this up, you know, we could talk about the politics of it. Politically, we should be looking at this and going out and making our lawmakers make it work better and cover things better. And exactly. I would really like to challenge people now to give us a call about, like, what should we be demanding from the lawmakers on top of this, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start with saying my insurance company is now going to charge 22% more through the insurance that we already had, and we're supposed to pay it before Christmas. Okay, that's something I've got a problem with. But 503-231-8187. We have not have hardly any callers today. And I know it's cold outside, but don't wait until the last 5 minutes to call with your questions about the Affordable Care Act. One thing that people don't talk about that much is the hardship waiver. There's so many parts of it, right? There's a million stories. Another thing is, when I went to this conference in Louisiana and I drank the tap water in the Hilton Hotel and got sick, whatever. I do have health insurance, but one of the things that's remarkable to me about it is nobody knows when everybody does settle down and everybody gets their insurance and all that stuff, and really there's a lot of incentives for preventative care, nobody knows what that's going to do. And there are people that are standing back and going, I wonder if people are going to sign up for Zumba classes, or I wonder what everybody's going to reach for. I mean, can you talk about that a little? I mean, I just want to just a little bit focus on the joy factor. It's okay, because sometimes life is so discouraging.
Yeah.
But talk about that a little bit. What you know, do you ever think about that?
Sure. Well, one of the things that you know, one of the reasons why at the county they're so focused on getting everyone signed up, obviously, is, you know, if people go in for preventative care more often, ultimately they're going to probably, or they're connected to insurance, they have insurance, they're not going to go to like urgent care or emergency room visits, which is ultimately going to bring the cost of medical care down. So that's one of the hopeful benefits of getting people connected to insurance through the Affordable Care Act, is they're going to go to the doctor before they go to the emergency room. So ultimately, that's going to lower costs for everyone. And I think that's great. I mean, emergency room visits for our clients that we work with are pretty frequent, because they're maybe not as educated about going to their doctor first or doing some of the preventative care work. And that's one of the things that we're trying to combat, is we want to make sure that people understand now you can have regular visits, you can go to the doctor, you don't have to go to the emergency room all the time.
I mean, and I think we live in I think it's really, I was a political science major, I get really jazzed about being angry about things and finding the weaknesses. And I think that's, as an American citizen, I think that's incredibly important as a citizen of the world. I do think, though, that there are some things that are a really big deal about the Affordable Care Act, which are like people who make no money to $16,000 a year. You have health care. It is free. Go get it.
It's really revolutionary. Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. And that is huge. I just can't even express the clients who have come in and said, okay, well, what do I need to do? And I said, oh, I'm sorry, you're done. Mm-hmm. You're done. And just the relief.
You're done meaning you're covered.
Yeah. Yeah. You're done. Excuse me. Yeah. You're done meaning you're covered. And that's a huge deal for anybody, regardless of their status, regardless of what they deal with every day. I've worked in the service industry for many years, and it is just normal that I don't have health insurance. And if I get an accident on my bike, then I am in trouble if that person doesn't have insurance. I mean, these are things that people deal with. And so that's really, really important. And I just feel like we need to be really, really clear about how great that is.
I think it's important to suss out the good and the bad, because it is our job to go in and make the bad better. And sure. I think people need to look at it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, when Social Security was first rolled out, there was just as much outrage as there is over the Affordable Care Act. Fact. Go look at it, man. Mm-hmm. There was just as much outrage. And people spent the next 10 years making sure that more people could qualify for Social Security. In fact, I mean, people have been tinkering with it forever, trying to make it work better for more people,
right,
to the point where now there's conservatives that want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to go with that. So I don't know what we said, but now suddenly all the phone lines are lit up. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Brandon on the phone. Brandon, what's going on? Are you happy about the Affordable Care Act? Or?
Well, I was happy until I got my new premium. By the way, just a side note, Social Security is broke, and I think we all know that. But anyway, I was with a major, major carrier, and Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I just got a letter saying that my premium was going to go up 68% from my normal premium that I've been paying over 15 years, and my deductible was going to go from $500 to $3,500 per person. And so I said, why is this happening? I love my insurance. I love my company. My rates were decent. And she couldn't answer. I said, you know what? I want an answer. And so I was on the phone for over an hour with them. Finally, I got somebody to say, the reason the rates have gone up is because the federal government, this new Affordable Care Act, has mandated that we carry everybody has to have everything. I mean, I have to have maternity. I have to have this and that. Well, I don't need those things, but I have no choice. I have to pay for everything now. And so I'm thinking, this is frustrating. It's like having vehicle insurance for your airplane, for your 300-foot yacht, for your jet ski, for your boat, for your car.
Brandon. Thanks a lot. So we're going to toss the question to our awesome expert here, Kelly. Thanks for calling, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon. This is Kelly. So here's the thing. That sucks, and I would be really freaked out if I got that.
It's kind of happening to me, too.
I mean, that's terrifying. You look at that, and who can afford that? The thing that I'm an application assister. My job is limited by the fact that I'm not an insurance agent, and I cannot necessarily tell people what to sign up for. I give them the options and they make that choice themselves. Please, please, please go to coveroregon.com, find an agent, go sit down with that agent and talk about everything that you need, your income, your family's situation, because that is free and it is the best place to go. And they are really savvy about figuring out something for you.
It's true, Brandon. I think that I'm fussing about my insurance carrier, but I think that we have a lot more options. And that actually is the whole point of the exchange. One of the biggest complaints that people have about, I'm going to call it Obamacare when I'm crabby and Affordable Care when I'm happy. No, I'm kidding. One of the biggest complaints that people have is this issue of the you know, how the corporate sector intersects there, and what are the what's the word I'm looking for? What are the incentives, and what do the incentives do? But and people, so progressive people say, oh, they just set it up as a big capitalist thing. The marketplace is a straight up Republican concept, and maybe some of those Republican concepts actually work okay. I'm open to it. So we do need to go check out the marketplace. You know, I'm just saying. And Brandon, I'm going to do it, and then you do it, and let's touch base in January and see what happened. Seriously, call back in January and let us know what happened. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We have a couple more callers. We have Linda on the phone. Linda, what's going on?
Okay, so I'm 58 years old, and I qualify to sign up through Fast Track for Oregon Health Plan, but I haven't signed up yet because I am concerned about the estate recovery.
That's a huge issue. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
So I have a home, and I have, you know, I don't have much debt on it. I have a small IRA. I have a 15-year-old son who's already on the health plan. So, I mean, it's an amazing program. But, yeah, the estate recovery, could you talk about that?
Thank you so much for calling, Linda. You guys want to pick that up? And as I say that, you guys didn't do it.
Totally.
Don't get angry at the messenger.
Oh,
there's
no,
a lot
no.
of little bombs in the system, and we need to figure it out. But yeah. Go ahead, the estate recovery thing.
I mean, I could speak to it a little bit. I learned about this just recently, and I agree with you. I think that's a really it's a strange. So basically, the estate recovery is if you're on Medicaid and you pass away. And you, Kelly, actually, do you want to speak a little bit more about it? It's at some point the state can recover part of your estate to recoup the expenses.
That's the long and the short of it.
Yeah.
So from my understanding, which is limited and my apologies, is if you're between 55 and 65 and you are on the Oregon Health Plan, which is Medicaid, and you pass away, if you have a spouse, your estate goes to your spouse. When your spouse passes away, the Oregon Health Plan or the Oregon Health Authority that runs the Oregon Health Plan can go in and recoup the amount of money that they spent on you through your estate. This is not something that I agree with or something that I, you know, like...
Have any power over
it. Yeah, I have no power over it.
So as we look at stuff like this, we're talking about call your member of Congress and fuss at them about it.
Word.
I really want, when people listen to this show, what I really want more than anything is for people to take away some tools to agitate for social change with music and commentary on this affordable healthcare thing, okay? You know that the fact that it was passed at all really burns the conservatives toast. They hate that. Mm-hmm. They've been shooting out guns at the feet of everyone dancing on this issue for 3 years. Before then, right? Remember when Hillary Clinton made healthcare her big first lady thing and she got squashed like a bug. Woo! So you know there's money behind making it so that health insurance is as expensive as it could possibly be. But I just really want people to make friends with your lawmakers. And I think your federal people are key, but your state people are too. I think for the recovery thing for Medicaid, you might start with your state lawmaker staff and just start calling them up and saying, "Look, I don't want to get my tail caught in this door. You know, it's not gonna. I'm gonna die sooner if I'm worried that y'all are gonna get my house." I'm just saying. I don't mean to be flip at all.
No,
I know it's. But anyway, we're talking about. Some of these things you should call your member of Congress. Some you should call your state lawmaker. Now, you guys are Cascade AIDS Project, helping people get insurance.
Right.
That's not exactly your
bailiwick.
But we're all thinking about it, right? But anyway, we have a whole bunch more callers. Let's try to get some on the phone. There's a lot going on in the air room. We have Cheryl. Cheryl, what's going on?
Hi. I was just listening to you guys talk to Linda, and I am calling along the same lines. I'm 50, and I've been out of work for a year and a half, and I don't have any dependents, but I do happen to have a house with some equity in it, lucky enough. And I'm also eligible for the fast track, and I got the paperwork, and I read the insert to your rights and responsibilities, and I actually have it here in front of me. And I was horrified to know that basically this is going to be health care for me on a loan, because they will come back if I die after 55 and attach to my estate for any services. And I have it here in front of me, and I've highlighted things, and I'm sure you don't have time for this, but I did call the Governor Advocacy's office, which is listed on the rights and responsibilities, and left a message to complain, and I intend to complain to my representatives. I did work for a law office in probate in my career for a while, and I do remember DHS coming in and attaching to people's wills and estates after they've advertised for people to make claims on estates. The only way that I know that you can maybe get around this is if you put your house in a trust, because it's my understanding that they cannot attach to that, but I could be wrong. But I just want everybody to know that if you're 40 or over and you happen to own something like a home or some property, please read this rights and responsibilities, because this is healthcare on a loan for us, and I've had hard times enough for the last year and a half trying to find a job. I'm barely getting by.
And this is specifically for the Medicaid?
This is for Fast Track.
Cheryl,
anybody that's on food stamps or SNAP.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cheryl, can you please email me, Lisa at thescanner.com. Please contact me, okay? And thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Bye.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. We've got about 8 minutes left, and we have a handful of callers. Let's try to fit them in. We've got Jimmy. Jimmy, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Lisa.
How are you?
As much of a boondoggle as I think that Obamacare is, I find myself ironically wanting to shed a little bit of clarity on the estate recovery aspect of it.
Okay.
excuse me, I did a little research on this issue, and the way I understand it is that this relates to long-term care, like residential care. Like if somebody went into a long-term facility and Medicaid was paying for that, if they're over 55, then upon their passing away, the state actually is the agency that comes back and is empowered to try to put a lien on someone's estate to recover that money.
Jimmy, who do you think that citizens should be agitating to change that? I'm just assuming that I would like to see it changed. I'm just if it's keeping people from enrolling in the insurance that they're going to get popped for in 2015 that they don't. It's like who do you think that people should be approaching to agitate against that?
That's a little bit beyond anything I'd be wanting to comment on. Like I said, in general, I think that this Affordable Care Act is a boondoggle in the first place.
Okay. Thanks, because, Jimmy.
Yeah,
we only have a couple minutes left, and we want to make sure that our guests get the chance to get all their information out again. I'm just going to say it. The Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, this thing is bigger than breakfast. It's got good. It's got bad. But what we need to do is wrap our arms and our brains around it and figure out how to turn it into the tool that actually helps us, helps our family, helps our friends live longer. We have one more caller. Let's try to fit him in. Sherelle, what's going on?
Good morning. I just wanted to say I think that this might be of help. I would suppose that doctors, for instance, your Medicaid patients that will hopefully receive help. How do I put this? I have a post-polio syndrome, which is bringing more complications into my life every day. It is very hard to find doctors who will take Medicaid, as it is hard to find doctors who will take Medicare. So I hope that the agency that is working here with people that are facing a big challenge like HIV will also steal them, let them strengthen them, let them know that it's not always easy to find a doctor that will take Medicaid at all, and also assist them to find doctors that will take Medicaid.
Thanks a ton, Sherelle.
Awesome,
and it's a really important point, and thank you for calling. I want to make sure that our guests have a chance to, we're running out of show, and I want to make sure they have the chance to respond to that and get the information out for people to get more information. But isn't that a systems reform thing, too?
Yes. I'm sorry.
She was talking about it's hard to get doctors who will take Medicaid and Medicare, which is a huge issue.
Right.
Yes.
Does that transform somehow under Affordable Care Act?
So essentially what's happening with Medicaid is it's going from a very small amount of patients to a huge amount of patients. So the idea is that after this, you know, throughout this pilot year and as Medicaid expands and gets really like situated as a really large pool of people, providers will be signing on for it. And so as the amount of people who are there go up, provider specialists will be jumping on board to get a part of this group of people. So really the expansion of Medicaid can only be helpful as far as looking like a good thing for providers and specialists to get on board with.
In terms of our clients too, we're working with coordinated care organizations, and those are really being worked out right now with the CCOs, different doctors and different clinics connecting with these larger organizations and making one huge network where people have options. You know, I mean, they if they want to stay with their doctor, they can. If they want to go to a different doctor, they can within the same network. So I think, I mean, that is part of what we're trying to do is educate our clients as consumers and make sure that they understand their options and help them make informed choices. We're not trying to make choices for anyone.
Okay, now let's rip through really quick the list of all the things that you guys have going, because the list is long, okay?
Sure, yeah.
Who wants to take that?
Migo?
All right.
We're looking at each other. So I just wanted to say again that Cover Oregon's having an enrollment fair this weekend at the Doubletree Hotel, which is at 1000 Northeast Multnomah Street, on Saturday the 23rd and Sunday the 24th, going from 9:30 until 8 p.m. If you are not connected to a community organization, you don't know how to start this process, and you just want to come in and sit down with someone and start the process of getting enrolled, that there are people there to help you.
You have to. Listen to me now. You have to do it. I'm sorry. sorry. I'm your mother. I'm telling you, you have to do it. Keep going.
So also, there is a number that you can call. There are a couple numbers. If you want to contact me, Kelly, or my lovely coworker, Zachary, or Rob, because he's adorable, our number is 1-800-777-2437 or 503-223-2437, 503-223-2437, or coverorgan@cascadeaids.org. Call us, write us. My name is Kelly. Ask for me. They will transfer you to my desk. And what I will do is I will make an appointment with you. I will sit down and we will have a conversation. Really quickly, I know that we are done, but if you are dealing with HIV, AIDS, if you are in the queer community, LGBTQ, please give me a call. Even if for the heck of it, you just want to come in and say hi to me and none of that applies to you, because this is really important to switch over. If you have OMIP or PSIP, any pre-existing insurance that is ending December 31st of this year, and we need to make sure that you are hooked into services for the 1st of January.
Okay.
And if you have questions in general and you're not one of those groups that we primarily are working with, we can also act as a resource for you as well. Yeah. So please feel free to call or email.
All right, that's it for our show. Thanks to our guests Rob Smith and Kelly Britton from the Cascade AIDS Project. More on their work at cascadeaids.org/cover/Oregon. Special thanks to engineer Steve Nasser and Sky the Studio Dog. This show will be podcast on KBOO.fm. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on the show. Theme music by the March 4th Marching Band. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Political Perspective.
Tune into Between the Covers every Thursday at 11 a.m. to hear interviews with locally and nationally known authors from both fiction and nonfiction. Between the Covers, only on KBOO Portland.
And you're tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming right up, it's Political Perspectives. At the top of the hour, host Jen Davis speaks with Floy Jones and Kent Crayford, chief petitioners of the Portland Public Water District Ballot Initiative. At 10 o'clock, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, a Catholic nun faces off with the right-wing Korean government and the USA over the building of a giant military base on the pristine Korean island of Jeju. And an update on the police killing of Andy Lopez. At 11 o'clock on the KBOO Food Show, guests include food writer and blogger Mary Bartlett. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support in our recent membership drive. In case you missed it, you can still go donate by going to kboo.fm on the web and clicking on Donate Today. Thanks for doing that in advance. And here we go with Jen Davis speaking with Floy Jones and Kent Crayford.
Hi, this is Jen Davis, and today I'm interviewing Floy Jones and Kent Crayford, who are the chief petitioners for the Portland Water District Initiative, which they're currently gathering signatures for. We're going to start off today talking with Floy Jones. She's also the founder of the Portland Friends of the Reservoirs. So, Floy, would you like to talk a little bit about your group and sort of how you got started on this issue?
Yes. Well, thanks for having us on the show. Yes, Friends of the Reservoirs is an all-volunteer grassroots organization, and we came together over 11 years ago now over a line-item decision by the city to demolish and bury reservoirs up at Mount Tabor. And we've been working on all Water Bureau issues since that time. Back when we started, there were a lot of really significant issues on the table. The city was considering relinquishing Portland's water system through an intergovernmental agreement so that Portland would no longer have sole control over our water system. There was also a Bull Run treatment panel being run by a revolving door consultant. So there were a lot of issues on the table. Even though we started out as focused on Portland's open reservoirs, we quickly became involved in all of the significant issues related to Portland's water system and have been water bureau watchdogs since that time.
Since one of the centerpieces of your work has been concerns with capping the reservoirs, can you speak a little bit about why you have been opposed to that issue and your current concerns regarding that?
Well, there's really no basis.